When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
There's the snap. There's the kick. It is up. It is no good. Norwood missed. 4 seconds left. The Giants have won Super Bowl 25 by the score of 20-19.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I've got to run to keep from having. And I'm bound to keep on riding. I got one more silver dollar, but I'm not gonna let them catch me, no. Not gonna let them catch the Midnight Rider.
Chris,
yeah!
Sports Radio 101.9.
The intern did not get sing like that.
WFAN.
Yeah! 1202 on the Fan. Mick Monagle here with you for our Friday 5-hour midnight ride. You know what that means. Me and you for 5 hours until 5 a.m. in the warm-up show. We got Alex on the other side taking your phone calls. 888-808-1019. And congratulations, Met fans. I mean, the feeling around this team right now. You have the Midas touch. McNeil has the Midas touch. You've got your MVP candidate, Lindor, hitting the game-winning or, you know, go-ahead home runs. Magic in extra innings. You're watching, following, beating up on the New York Yankees. After years of watching the New York Yankees beat you. I heard Evan today, and I get it. Years of watching the New York Yankees beat you. Years of the Braves owning this division for the last six, for the last 30. Knowing the Braves ended the best season this team has had in forever a couple years ago at the end of the season, and watching as this four-game winning streak now continues through, depending on how you where you want to actually put the Yankees, but your two biggest rivals, let's just say that for argument's sake, and certainly your biggest in the Atlanta Braves, and two teams that have had their way with you for the most part. You absolutely dominate the New York Yankees in a four-game sweep over the course of the regular season, and obviously the last two games, including 2 days ago, when they absolutely embarrassed the Yankees. And you knew leading into it, coming off that emotional series, coming off an important win, dominating the New York Yankees, pulling away, embarrassing them, to follow it up with a much more important series when it comes to the reality of winning, when it comes to who they're going to be come October, what they're going to do come the trade deadline, and how important it is inside the standings chasing the Atlanta Braves in the wild card, coming out there and winning a game that, let's be honest, the Mets, I don't want to say don't typically win, but the feeling around this team is so far different than it's been earlier this year, all of last year, in their history with this group. Because let's be honest, in the 9th, 10th inning, the vibe and the feeling is, despite the fact that you have two hits on the game, despite the fact you've been shut down, the Mets are going to find a way to win. That's the feeling I get watching them. As a Yankee fan, that's the feeling I get watching them. They were going to win that game. One way or another, they were going to win that game. And yes, you know, Laureano overruns the ball. No doubt they got lucky. The Atlanta Braves handled really this whole game. Let's be totally honest. One, we understand they're a different team right now. They're banged up. They don't have Acuna. They won't have Acuna. Albies might be back towards the end of the year, but they're struggling. They have been all year to score runs. Ozuna is really their only good player. You've got Olsen having the worst season of his career. They're really struggling to score runs, and they're pressing, much like the Yankees. I mean, as they dominate the Yankees and now the Braves, you could paint the similarities between those two teams, quite honestly, the two wild card leaders in the American League and National League, as they're in free fall and unable to score runs and pressing, and you see Whit Merrifield trying to steal third base in the 9th and getting thrown out by Alvarez, who made a terrific throw on it, or whether it's completely bungling the top of the 10th inning where they lay down a bunt, which I hate playing for one run, especially against this hot Met team and their inability to score. I'm not playing for one run in the 9th. They run a suicide squeeze in the just an embarrassing display from the Atlanta Braves, and that's not to diminish what the Mets have done here. But even on nights where the offense is held down, even on nights where it might not feel at times it's going to go your way, you come home after a big win in the Bronx and you feel like, oh, geez, here we go. Back to playing the Braves. Can't get a hit. And still, your MVP comes through. McNeil, who's completely been different now, comes through. And for me, the biggest part of this game, the biggest piece of this game, and something that probably, we know what McNeil can be, it's a hot streak. I have to see more, but right now he's playing out of his mind. I hope it continues. He does have a track record, won a batting title. It's not that it can't continue. It's just been so bad for a year and a half that I need more than a week. But right now he's been great. Lindor absolutely 100% believe can be the rest of this. His numbers since he's gotten to the leadoff spot are out of control. Two home runs last night, two home runs against the Yankees on Wednesday night, a two-run home run in this game. But the moment in this game where the game is won for me is the sixth inning. And what Buto now brings to this bullpen and in this game, the ability to come in, Severino gives up the game-tying hit. He comes out in the sixth, not giving up a run. Buto comes into this situation, first and second, nobody out, tie game, gets out of the jam and proceeds to pitch another two innings. The weapon that Buto has become in this bullpen, which by far, while we're going through this winning streak, while the Mets are playing this great baseball, their biggest weakness by far still is the bullpen. You know, Diaz has had his moments. We all know the beginning, then the terrible stretch, then getting caught with the sticky stuff since he's come back. You know, he's been pretty good. And you need him to be at least close to the closer he was 2 years ago. But ultimately, even though they were able to shut down the New York Yankees in that hideous lineup, for the most part, you're still pretty nervous about guys like Diekman. You're still pretty nervous about guys like Ottavino. You're still pretty nervous about this bullpen. And to have a guy like Buto, who can come in and not only pitch you out of jams, but can give you two, three innings, give you that length, you know, like Michael King did for the New York Yankees before they had to trade him for Juan Soto. I mean, that is an enormous weapon. It's someone who might not be able to pitch every day, but it's someone who comes in and can stabilize an important game, who can come in and not, you know, because some of these guys, they come in, they need the clean inning. You need the clean inning. Okay, maybe they can give you three innings like a long man, but to have the added element of being able to come in, pitch out of a jam, and then give you another two innings to get you to the ninth in Diaz is a huge weapon. And he's throwing more strikes than he did as a starter. His changeup is playing better in the bullpen than it is. His stuff is playing better in the bullpen than it did in the rotation. And yes, you know, they have starting issues. They've lost Scott here. You cannot move Buto out of this spot. He is a game changer in the bullpen, and that's where this game was won. Him coming in and then shutting down the Braves the rest of the way. And now as you look and they take care of the Yankees and they take care of the Braves, they're on a four-game winning streak. They're playing as well as anyone in Major League Baseball. That lineup, despite not coming through tonight, finds a way. And they've been so good. You look at them, they are a game in the loss column behind the Atlanta Braves for the first wild card. This is a completely new season. Forget everything else. Forget everything else. And I know Met fans, I heard them calling into Keith. I've listened to Met fans. I know Met fans. I live with Met fans. I love, you know, I have best friends who are Met fans. I get it. There's hesitation. And here's the one point I'll say about it. I don't believe that this lineup and this team will be this hot or this good. Nobody ever is for forever. But what we're seeing is not a mirage. What we're seeing is not fake. What we're seeing is some guys having the best years of their career at the bottom of the lineup, right? Whether it be Iglesias, whether it be Vientos, who everybody wanted to send down to the minor leagues and was thrilled to do so when J.D. Martinez was signed. Bader, who's still banged up a little bit, but he's having a career year. Taylor's having a career year. I mean, you're seeing just special signs. You have the song, OMG. You have everything, a grimace, everything else along with this team. You're watching this team overachieve and play great. And you know what? It's no longer overachieving. It's who they are. And that's why, for me, if this is a no longer, they have gone through stages throughout this winning streak on how the Mets should be viewed by the fans and by their front office, more importantly. And there were stages of it, right? And early on, it was, okay, what do we do about Pete Alonso? Should we, how do we trade him? Should we trade him? What other pieces can we move? We got Severino's pitching well, who can move. We've got, obviously, JD Martinez, they can move. As the season was floundering and falling apart, that was the conversation. As they started to play better, you started to think differently. And then once they got in it a little bit, okay, well, now maybe we shouldn't sell. Maybe we should buy. Maybe we should buy. On what level, though? I mean, how much do you trust this team? And then now, slowly but surely, and now you're getting to a point, and I think you're there. When you take everything into account, when you take the way they've played, when you take the little special things of role players having career seasons, when you take into the account of every single move made in the offseason, whether it be J.D. Martinez, who sparked this whole damn thing with the walk-off hit against Miami, or whether it be Lindor, your MVP, playing like one, your high-priced $30 million player, playing like one. Whether it be your catcher, the new young kid, still, upstart rookie sensation of last year, the new face of the franchise possibly moving forward, impacting winning on such a level. You watch how mature he is behind the plate, even though he's cooled off offensively, makes great throws to throw runners out in the ninth inning at third base in a league where it feels like nobody gets thrown out. All the different things you're seeing, the way they've turned around their season, the way now Buddha has helped the bullpen. And, that little move, we'll put Buddha in the bullpen. We have some extra depth in the rotation. And now he becomes a Michael King type, get out of jams, and then pitch another three innings. I'm sorry. I think forget the idea of selling, done. Forget the idea of buying. We know that's going to happen. Now the question is, what level of buying are you willing to do? And how serious does Stearns take this trade deadline in a couple days? Because they are a game out, a half a game, one in the loss column, from being the wild card leader. As the Braves fall apart and can't score runs, and watching this team without Acuna, without Albies, pressing, trying suicide squeezes in the 10th inning. Watching every guy come up having the worst year of his career while the Mets are having their best. Like, it's just one of those things where, at this point, how serious do you take it? Are you willing to add pieces that don't include or won't be included in your long-term vision? Are you willing to add pieces that could be rentals? Are you willing to go and improve that bullpen by moves like Amato? Yeah, okay, Sure, that makes sense, right? A little piece. He's had better years than this year. You're willing to get him for kind of nothing. Oh, you can get another arm. Hey, it's better than what they have, right? It's better than the slop they've been throwing out there, as long as it improves. Or do you veer far away from the initial thought process of this season of attempting to win while ultimately plan A, rebuilding for the future? At what point do you say the future is now? Because I will tell you, and I think Met fans should understand this. Hear me loud and hear me good. Special seasons don't come around that often. And you can build for the future, and obviously in some way, shape, and form, they need to. We've seen this organization be at the bottom of the barrel of players they drafted and developed, making it to the major leagues. Worst in baseball. They've had a real problem with it. They've struggled with it. They brought in Stearns specifically to help it. Last year's trade deadline was impacting it. The owner went out there and threw and traded away excellent Hall of Fame caliber starting pitching players and added money to their deals to get back the best prospects possible to stack this thing. I get it. You want long-term success. You want sustained winning. We all do. But when you're watching this as Kodai Senga, their ace, is now going to return tonight against the Braves, as you watch them flounder and the Mets in a secure playoff spot looking like the best of everybody this side of the Philadelphia Phillies and the Los Angeles Dodgers, at what point do you say, I have to put more importance into winning now than I do anything else? That wasn't the mission statement heading in, but at what point do you play yourself into it? At what point do you say, because honestly, it's great now, and I think that's what maybe some Met fans will say who want to hold on to the future, who believe in this belief. It'll be, well, hey, look at how well they're playing now. How much can I help this team? I mean, They're doing great. We'll add little pieces. If they continue to play like this, they can win anyway. And I would say, yeah, I mean, that sounds great, other than things change. And I don't know if this offense is going to be this potent, this deadly for the entire season. You don't know how Budo will pitch the rest. I mean, there is enough where you feel like they are a solid baseball team that is as good as anyone, you know, this side of Philadelphia in the National League, and you have to go out there and try and bolster it and try and win this year. That's the question I have, and that's the question I would love Stearns to answer, and I'm wondering how he's feeling. As we're listening to the trade deadline talks, and all the names are coming up, and all the different relievers are coming up, and all the different pieces, starting pitching, I mean, at what level would you be interested in adding a Skubal or one of these top Kubla and adding one of these top starting pitching guys at the top of the market, a Crochet, a Skubal, one of these guys that could bring you an ace to this staff come playoff series, come a three-game set in a wild card series or an NLCS, and now you're throwing Severino, Kodai Senga, and another top-level starting pitcher, and you can move guys in your rotation now to the bullpen to help as well as add bullpen pieces. Like, at what level are you willing to do that? Because I'd tell you, right now, I just heard Keith at the end of his show. I'm not saying the Mets are the best team in baseball. I'm not saying they're unstoppable. But when guys are overrunning fly balls, when teams are running into outs in the ninth and extra innings, when you're pounding what has been the teams that have pounded you for years, when you have a group that is so tight-knit, when you have your MVP player playing like an MVP, when you have your subs and your secondary pieces playing the best they've played in their career, when you have guys like Iglesias coming up and taking over the second baseman job with an OPS of 1,000, when those special things start to happen, you don't run from it, you embrace it. And whatever the plan may have been before, things change. And sure, you know, nice little pieces that could slightly help the bullpen is without question on the table. But what else? Are they looking just for the scraps that are better than their scraps? Or are they looking to steal other people's dinner? Because if I'm the Mets right now, and I see what's going on, and I feel the vibe around this team, I'm looking for dinner. I'm looking for everything. Why not? Why not? You have no idea what prospects will bring. You have no idea how they'll perform when they get here. You have no idea what free agent signings are possible or that will help this team next year. They won 101 games 2 years ago, and last year was a fall-on-your-face disaster. They were led by Buck Showalter, won 101 games. They didn't lose a series for the first 2 months of the year. They were on their way. It's the best regular season in 100 years for the Mets. And then they completely fell apart at the end of the year. And then the year after that was a disaster where they were giving up at the trade deadline. Anything can happen next year. What I'm watching now feels special. What I'm watching now, and that's not to say, you know, did they get lucky last night? Absolutely they got lucky. Did Liriano overrun the ball? Absolutely. Did the Braves run themselves out of two innings? Yes. But luck is the residue of design. And good teams get lucky. Good teams make their own luck. And when luck and good come together, that's when you get great. And when I have a chance to chase great and it's within my grasp, I take it. I don't know how far Stearns will go. I don't know who's available. I don't know on what level any of this makes sense. All I know is I believe in this team. They're showing me all kinds of signs, and I'm watching the other teams fade away. I'm watching the Atlanta Braves come back to me as I chase them. I want to go win. I want to win now. This wasn't possible at the start of the year. This wasn't what we thought. Nobody would have expected them to be a game in the loss column behind the Atlanta Braves. Heading into the year, you thought, hey, if everything went right, 500. Now they look like a team that's dangerous. Things change. And I can't sit idly by and just go, hey, listen, they're playing so well that, hey, it might happen anyway, which is true, but I got to go out and help this team. And if it cost me prospects I didn't even think were possible trading before the season started, then that's what it costs. You've got the richest owner in baseball. And yes, you want to, you know, build for the future. That doesn't have to stop. I've just seen too many good signs. I've seen when balls land in the outfield, when teams run themselves out of innings, when you're beating up on teams that have historically beat up on you, when you're on this historical run, when your best players are your best players and your bench players are better than everybody else's bench, and you're getting, you know, hitting home runs off last year's AL Cy Young Award winner from the nine hitter. I mean, those are the kind of things I embrace. And that's what the Mets are showing you on a nightly basis. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. So many things from this game last night that just, one, following up that the Yankee victory with now continuing beating the Braves. You got Senga coming back tonight. A Met team that is still winning games without scoring runs. A bullpen piece in Budo who can get you out of jams and then give you two more innings. Your closer who can make it through in the ninth. The right fielder overrunning the ball, McNeil on fire. These are things that are starting to tell a story. And I want to add to it. Because it could be a special one.